Hey, it's Kathy, and this is Beyond the Plate, Heard, the audio newsletter where I share what's on my plate, literally and figuratively. From culinary insights to restaurants and recipes, it's everything that I'm seeing, tasting, and talking about in just a few minutes. It's not a peer-reviewed culinary journal. It's just my take on what I'm into at the moment. So let's dive in, and I hope you all take something from my plate. Okay, first up are four restaurants and bars from a recent and quick trip I had to London to watch my brother-in-law run the marathon. I know I usually share a restaurant or bar, but I'm doing a quick recap. Actually, it's not that quick, but bear with me. So the first night we went to Darjeeling Express, which is Asma Khan's restaurant in Soho. They actually just relocated the restaurant since we've eaten there. And I'm not quite sure. I don't think they've reopened, but they likely will be reopening very soon. This place is so good. If you've never seen Asma's episode of Chef's Table, please go watch it. It's an incredible story. She started doing pop-ups out of her home in London and didn't open her first restaurant until she was 47 years old. She also employs an all-women kitchen made up of mostly mothers and grandmothers, so they're not traditionally trained restaurant chefs. And the whole thing is just really cool and obviously deeply personal to her. The food tastes like an incredible home-cooked meal. We had an amazing paneer dish that we all loved, a methi chicken, which we all loved, tamarind dal, these unbelievable toasties, which are like sandwiches. One was a chili and cheese version, and another was a butter chicken masala version. We had a bunch of other things. We had some desserts, and by some desserts, I mean we had all of the desserts. And for me, there was this steamed carrot pudding that was really different and really good. We also had a little pour of a homemade chai, which was awesome. And then earlier in the meal, they gave us a little taste of this mango lassi, which was delicious. So just really warm and comforting all around and such a good meal. After that dinner at Darjeeling Express, we went over to the Connaught for cocktails at the bar, which is run by Ago Perone and Giorgio Bargiani, both of whom were guests on one of our Beyond the Drink episodes. The Connaught is one of those pristine classic hotel bars where every single detail feels really intentional. I had a cocktail called the Number 11, which they created for the bar's 11th anniversary. It was a gin-based cocktail. I believe there were some other spirits and awesome ingredients in it. Super elegant and served in this insanely beautiful coupe-style glass inspired by Jackson Pollock, since Pollock famously numbered all of his paintings. The glass had this splatter painting design that made the whole drink, like, it literally felt like a piece of art as I would pick it up and drink it. And because hospitality at this hotel and bar, after I kept talking and asking questions about how much I loved the cocktail, they handed me a beautifully designed recipe card for the cocktail on my way out the door. Just an awesome experience all around. Then our last night, we went to Mountain on Beek Street from Chef Thomas Perry, whose other restaurant is Brat. Two different people recommended Mountain to me. One is a friend who is in the food world in London, and another who's a food writer that I know who moved there from New York, and both were spot on with this recommendation. Mountain focuses on wood-fired cooking, mainly with a Basque influence, and everything was built around share plates, I would say, but not necessarily tapas style, but sharing. The dish that completely blew me away was this grilled snail dish that I would have truthfully never ordered myself. But my brother-in-law threw it in at the last second, and thank gosh that he did. This dish had an unbelievably flavorful broth. It was kind of like thin but stew-like texture with chickpeas and other vegetables and aromatics, and then the snails. And just the balance of flavor was wild. I honestly can't stop thinking about this dish. We had a ton of other great dishes also. A lot of vegetable-based dishes, really good wine and cocktails. Since this menu changes a lot, I'm not going to pretend I am going to remember and go into every single dish that we ate, because it's one of those restaurants that everything feels like a hit. Overall, just a really great restaurant. And then, of course, we had to do the fish and chips thing while we were in London. So we went to a place called the Mayfair Chippy, the North Audley Street location, which my brother-in-law had heard about. And my brother also had been there before. It was just your classic London fish and chips done really, really well. Crispy fish, really good fries, all the sauces, malt vinegar, the whole thing. So if you're nearby, definitely worth a stop. You can find all the links and handles I mentioned in the show notes. All right, next up is the Spare Food Company. Spare Food is built around a simple idea: make better use of responsibly grown and raised ingredients. Spare creates delicious foods that deliver, as they say, more flavor and better nutrition by making smarter use of ingredients that are already in the food system. So I recently met one of their founders, Jeremy, at a couple events I was at, and then bought his product after because I was so intrigued by his story. And that's when I tried the product for my first time. And honestly, super interesting, really delicious and flavorful product. The company was started by brothers, Jeremy K and Adam K. Jeremy comes from the world of Patagonia, and Adam previously worked closely with Chef Dan Barber at Blue Hill at Stone Barns. So these are two super thoughtful, intentional, talented guys with a pretty incredible backstory behind how the company came together. I don't want to spoil the whole journey for you because it's worth checking out yourself, but the basic idea behind Spare is really smart. Long and the short of it is it's a blended ground meat product that has beef and a super full flavor vegetable mixture added to it. They do patties and they do a ground form. So you're getting all the richness and, quite frankly, the satisfaction of ground beef, but it's layered with these flavors that the brilliant chef Adam has created with the vegetables and aromatics that are making this product taste better. And it's not like something is being taken away from us in the product. It's not an alt protein. It's not plant-based. It's just using less beef. And I should mention that they use surplus vegetables in it. And so therefore, overall, a little better for the environment. As I mentioned, I recently tried it. I ordered a 1-pound pack through my Imperfect Produce or Misfits Market, whatever we're calling it these days. And I made some meatballs for my family with it. And honestly, I barely added anything to the meatball mixture. And then I just roasted them off. But the flavor was already there because of this delicious vegetable mixture. The meatballs were delicious. They were juicy and like really savory tasting. And that vegetable blend kind of acted like a built-in flavor, if you will. What I also appreciate is that these guys seem to be building something that's incredibly mission-driven without really being preachy about it. Because right now, I think they're mostly in food service and not really in grocery yet, I will say. Hopefully we all see them in grocery soon. And I hope we start seeing more products from them soon too, because I think they're really on to something cool here. So definitely check them out. Next up is a simple fan favorite baked bean dish. Maybe a little random, but I'm going to share one of my go-to baked bean recipes because I probably made this thing 10 to 20 times over the years and people always seem to crush it. And I just made it for like 30 people at a Memorial Day barbecue. So I actually first had a version of these baked beans at a chef's wedding that I attended many years ago. And this chef had a bunch of other chefs and pitmasters cooking at different stations during the dinner. And there's this pretty well-known barbecue guy, I'm not going to spoil it, but you could figure it out probably, that was making this baked bean dish that was really good. And I was talking to one of the other chefs that I knew there about how much I loved the beans, and eventually he spilled the beans to me. This recipe was actually pretty simple. So I played with it over the years to refine it to my family's taste buds, but it's basically four ingredients. It's canned plain baked beans. Don't get all the funky added flavors. I add bacon to it, peach preserves, which I've also used apricot preserves, and then store-bought barbecue sauce. Like your favorite barbecue sauce, or if you have a homemade one, use the homemade one. That's pretty much it. What I usually do, just to take you through it, I chop up some bacon, render it slowly until it's nice and crispy, pull the bacon out with a slotted spoon, and then leave a couple tablespoons of the bacon fat in the pan. From there, I add the baked beans directly into the pot or pan and start warming them, you know, over medium heat or so. Then I add some of that barbecue sauce, usually whatever smoky style sauce I have around. If there's a spicy one and you like spice, go ahead. And then a few big spoonfuls of peach preserves. Not going to pretend I measure this stuff carefully because I absolutely do not. I just taste as I go. And once everything's warmed through and lightly bubbling, I let it cook for like, I don't know, 10 minutes, 15 minutes until those flavors start to come together. And then I stir all of that crispy bacon back into the pot right at the end. That's it. They're definitely on the sweet, smoky, salty side of things, but in a very crowd-pleasing way. And again, as I mentioned, crowd pleaser for cookouts, summer parties, big gatherings, whatever it may be. And I know I'm not giving exact measurements here, but honestly, this is one of those recipes that works better when you just play with it a little and make it your own. Next up is Matriarch Foods. Okay, Matriarch Foods upcycles farm surplus and some fresh cut remnants into delicious, healthy products for food service, retail, and emergency food. All right, check this out. So I've known the founder, Anna Hammond, probably for like 15 years or more, long before Matriarch existed, back from her nonprofit and philanthropy days working. Anna worked in food insecurity, education, and food system space. So it's really no surprise that what she's building now feels like very thoughtful and very on point. Okay, Matriarch has a really interesting model. They take surplus farm produce, things that might otherwise go to waste, and they turn them into really smart, delicious products. And this isn't just that like sustainability talk here. It's creating products that help address one, food waste, two, it supports farmers, and three, it gets nutritious food to the right people in a very responsible way. The products range from upcycled broth concentrates and sauces to products designed specifically for emergency food providers and institutions feeding people at scale. It's really impressive. I'm probably not even doing the full story justice. So if you care about good food, food systems, climate, hunger relief, or just smart people trying to build better infrastructure around food, go check out Matriarch Foods and what Anna and her team are doing. Next up is Zim's by Asha. Okay, if you know Andrew Zimmern from his TV shows, you probably already know he's an incredible storyteller around food. But what some people may not realize is he also happens to be a very accomplished and very talented chef. So Andrew just launched a new CPG collaboration called Zim's with Asha Foods, which is a Taiwanese air-dried noodle company. And honestly, the lineup sounds pretty fantastic. There are a few cheesy noodle flavors with things like spicy cacio pepe and cheesy truffle. They have a couple ramen bowls that they did. And then he has this jar of a peanut butter chili crisp situation that sounds extremely up my alley. These products are available at Target, so you can keep an eye out for Zim's or use Target's store locator and see if your local store has them in stock. Big fan of seeing chefs bringing meaningful, thoughtful, fun products into the mainstream, and I will definitely be checking out Zim's very soon. One last thing before I leave you. All right, my kids have been very politely asking to do a lemonade stand lately because they've been seeing friends doing them around the neighborhood. And so finally, the other day, they had a few friends over and decided they were going to make it happen. I didn't really have a say. I mean, I did, but what am I going to say to like five kids who are begging for a lemonade stand? But I happen to have a giant bag of lemons sitting around that I wanted to use up anyway. So instead of grabbing a mix, which no judgment at all, because those definitely have a place, but I figured we'd make some homemade lemonade from scratch so I could show them where it comes from. And it was honestly kind of great. I started by making a super simple syrup, which was equal parts, 1 cup of sugar and 1 cup of water. I put that in a small sauce pot and just brought it up to a simmer and stirred it until the sugar dissolved, turned off the heat, and let it cool slightly, just a little bit. Then we mixed the simple syrup with about a cup of the fresh lemon juice and probably 4 or 5 cups of cold water. And then from there, you can just play with the balance, depending on how tart or sweet you like it. But the funny part is, one of the kids' friends looked at the lemonade and said, "Wait, how come it's not yellow?" Which I thought was a very fair and funny question. Well, we didn't add anything to it. It was the real stuff is the answer. And then the kids got completely into the process of seeing lemonade actually get made from real lemons and tasting it as it came together. So instead of mixing it from a powder or a bottle per se, they also decided on their own, of course, to charge $2 a glass. Hey, it was from scratch and I supported this. But the funny part was there was a group of women walking through the neighborhood and the kids proudly told them the lemonade was homemade from scratch. And as the women walked away with their cups of lemonade, I literally overheard one of them say, "Oh, wow, this really is good lemonade," which I thought was pretty funny. And the kids absolutely loved hearing. And at one point, they thought they were going to run out. So they grabbed a couple cans of store-bought lemonade from the fridge as backup. But they were very adamant about making sure customers knew the fresh lemonade is homemade and the cans were just emergency backup. So anyway, if you've never made lemonade from scratch with your kids before, give it a shot this summer. It's very easy. It's tasty. It tastes better, I think, than the mix. And apparently you can make at least a few extra bucks doing it. Thanks for listening to Herd, a production of Beyond the Plate. You can find all the links and handles I mentioned in the show notes. If you liked this, then tap the follow button and tune in for more Herd, where I share what I'm seeing, tasting, and loving lately in food and hospitality. And if your friends and family may enjoy it, I hope you will share it with them. Until next time.